O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here and now, then and there. Here, a homonym for listening. Here and now, then and there, then and there. It could be past, then and there. It could be present, then and there. But it's also about here and now. Being a Christian is not just about being ready for then and there, even though that's fantastic. It is also, it's certainly about the here and now. So we'll try to make the most of it right here. I will. So hearing is something that is central to the parables. Jesus talks about the blessing it is for people that have ears to hear. Because when you have ears to hear, that's having faith. Things begin to make more sense. There is a peace that comes. A peace that comes about whatever we're going through here and now. But also, there's a hope that comes for the then and there. Jesus said earlier in Matthew 13, we heard this last week, the disciples asked him, "Why do you teach in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." And then he says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." And then he ends today's reading, 13:43, and says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Here and now. Right here, right now. I said that yesterday. I was preaching to the imaginary sermon at 3 o'clock. It was a real sermon, but nobody was here. And I said, "Right here, right now." And then I had a Van Halen song in my head. So if you've got that in your head, it's okay for right now. Right here, right now. But right here, right now, as Sammy Hagar says, it means everything. But the best, then and there, it's going to be fantastic also. Jesus says, right here and now, the kingdom of heaven has come to you. He says that to his hearers because he has brought the reign of heaven near to them. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the promised King, the one who comes after David, the beloved of God the Father. He is truly the Son of God. And when he preaches this parable to, and many of these parables are this way, it is surprising to his hearers. So Jesus put another parable before them. He just told one about the sower, and now he talks about another sower. He says, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed what kind of seed in his field?" Did you catch it? Good seed. It was good seed. There's no question. It wasn't like he was haphazard about it. It was good seed. If he was in Mattoon, Illinois, he would have gone to DeBurr's Feed and Seed, and he got the best seed he could get from Bernie DeBurr. I don't know where the best seed place is. Can I get seed at Waterman's? Can I get any seed there? No? Okay. Well, so wherever you get the best seed, that's what he used. And then he says, but while his men were sleeping, he put this good seed in the ground. An enemy came and sowed weeds among that good seed, and it was a surprise. So when the plants came up, initially maybe they looked the same, but as the good seed began to sprout good fruit, the weeds began to not sprout any good fruit at all. In fact, it's bad stuff. So the servants came to the master of the house and say, "Hey, maybe you didn't go to DeBurr's or wherever you get good seed. Maybe you made a mistake." "No, no, I didn't. I got exactly the seed I wanted." They said, well, so how does your field have weeds then if you did everything like you said you were going to do it?" And he says, "Well, an enemy has done this. It's an evil thing." So then the servants say, "Well, hey, do you want us to go and gather these weeds up right now?" See, that's what I would do. I'm impatient about a lot of things. I don't like things not being right. I will go and pull those weeds right now. If I notice that something is it right? I got ants somewhere. I will cover the entire house with Ortho Home Defense and stick out some ant bait as well. I can't stand stuff not being right. See, they're concerned that these weeds are going to choke out the wheat, the good stuff. They're going to choke out the word. And what does this mean in our world? It means sin and evil. It's a shocking and oftentimes still surprising thing, no matter how cynical we might be. And they ask God, essentially. And we ask God, I do. God, do you know what you're doing? You've been through the small catechism, the first article of the Apostles' Creed. We learn these things about God. There are 13 attributes, I think, in the latest synodical edition of the catechism. But three of those attributes of God, they start with the prefix omni, meaning all. You remember, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God, if you're all-knowing, why would you even plant your seed if this miserable, evil person was going to come and mess it up? But not only that, God, not only are you all-knowing, you're also omnipotent. You're all-powerful. God, you ought to be able to stop that evil one dead in his tracks. And God, aren't you omnipresent? You're everywhere. You would have known. You could have done something about it. And you were there. And you just let him plant that dirty weed seed in your good field. Why didn't you stop it, God? See, I said, God, I think we can do something about this right here and now. Let me go pull up those weeds. And that's what the disciples say to Jesus. Parables says, let's go pull some weeds. And it surprisingly says no, because in trying to get those weeds out, you may pull out the wheat. Just let it grow for right now. For right now, here and now, just let it be. But then and there will be a harvest, and there will be a separation. But for here and now, just wait. It's surprising to me, though, the defenselessness of the word, as Martin Fransman says. He's actually the writer of this hymn that we just sang. He says the word is defenseless. See, in this parable, the owner of the field, the sower, did not put up a fence to keep out the evil one. He didn't have a security system that would alert him when something went wrong. He didn't instruct his field hands to stay awake and be on a 24-hour watch and be ready to shoot anyone on sight. He just leaves that word to be defenseless. And as the disciples of Jesus pondered this parable, we find out that six verses later, after Jesus has left the crowds and the disciples are alone with him, they say, hey, Jesus, can you tell us what all of this meant? It's okay to ask God questions. And basically, they say, God, Jesus, is this how your kingdom works? And he says, yes, but don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Because God will do what he has promised then and there. God is doing everything that he means to do right here and right now. And God has done everything that he needed to do. None of this is a surprise to him, to the one who is omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. See, the reign of heaven comes by a word, a spoken word. And the parables are about the word of God, a word that comes in many ways in a defenseless manner. See, there is the then and there of future hope. There is the here and now of present peace. And then there is the anchor of the things that God has done in the past. There's a story in the Old Testament of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. This is one that I think it's one we have used it recently over at Jesus time at Little Wings. Elijah in 1 Kings 18 thinks that he is the only faithful prophet left of God. And he finds himself challenging 450 prophets of Baal. And the challenge is to see who's going to burn up these cows. And the 450 prophets of Baal, they've got strength in numbers. They are doing everything they can to call down Baal, and they are letting their blood and they're crying out and wailing. And Elijah says, maybe you need to do even more. I guess he can't hear you. And nothing happens. And then Elijah, he ups the ante. He says, go ahead and soak my cow in water. And then God sends down fire that consumes the cows of Elijah. And not only that then, the 450 prophets of Baal are killed. And Elijah then goes to tell King Ahab, who's married to Queen Jezebel. Queen Jezebel, who's a pagan, not a nice person. Probably not good to name your child Jezebel, just a thought. And Jezebel is not happy. These are the prophets of her God. She sends word to Elijah that I'm going to make sure the same thing that happened to those 450 prophets of Baal happens to you. And Elijah goes and hides in a cave. Once again, broken down. God, where are you? I'm the only one left. God sends him a raven to bring him food. And Elijah retreats further into the cave. And then it's here in the cave that the first thing that happens is there is a huge windstorm. It's a windstorm, the sort of thing that would tear the top off of a mountain and crush rocks. But guess what? God was not in that mighty windstorm. And then there's a tremendous earthquake that shakes the earth down to its core. But God's not in the earthquake. And then there is this consuming fire that burns red hot. But guess what? God's not in the fire. And then finally there is a whisper. It's just a whisper. And in that whisper is the still, small voice of God. A whisper. That would otherwise seem defenseless against a cacophony of voices or shouting or weeping and wailing. But it's in that whisper that God comes to Elijah. He says, do not lose heart. See, the God of the then and there of the past, we anchor our hope in what he has done. We've got a peace in the present tense in what he's doing in the here and now, but we also look forward to the then and the there of what he will do. Knowing that the kingdom of heaven has and does come in surprising ways. It comes by a word. Comes in a whisper. See, it was a little whisper one night in Bethlehem when a little baby is born to a virgin named Mary. And maybe as those shepherds drew near to that feeding trough, to the manger, Mary and Joseph said, just whisper. It's just a baby. And it was that little baby who grew up to a man who would bring the reign of heaven near. Baptized by John the Baptist, a man who would call 12 to follow him and would send out 70 and then 72. A man who would be led back into Jerusalem, and then he would be beaten, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He would not raise his voice. He wouldn't even raise a finger. He could call down legions of angels, but he didn't. And it would seem as though the reign of heaven would die with hardly even a whimper. But in that still, small voice of the one who is the Word made flesh, who breathed his last on the cross and gave up his spirit, it would seem as though Satan, the evil one, who had conspired against him with this plan to ruin the reign of heaven, had won. And then in a surprising turn, on the third day, words of Alleluia, a word of Alleluia is spoken. As Jesus is risen. And what would appear to die in a whimper now is maybe just a whispered rumor between people. Did you hear that he's risen? No, I can't believe it. But he has. For the God who promised then and there, here and now, is doing what he said he was going to do, and it will come to fulfillment then and there. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. See, I need to hear this again and again because I quickly lose heart. I know that God has been faithful in the past. I pick up the scriptures and I hear it and I believe it, but then I see things in my own life and I say, well, God, I know you took care of that then and there, but here and now, I don't know. And it's trivial stuff. I don't know if our house is ever going to sell. But if you'd like to buy a house in Illinois, talk to me later. No. I need to hear it again and again. And see, that's not even the biggest thing. I need to hear right here and right now, Sunday in and Sunday out, day in and day out, that the reign of heaven has come near to me, that we are baptized children of God, that He comes and He feeds us through word and sacrament. And God comes in many ways in this way that would appear to the world to be defenseless. We're just in a whisper. And it's exactly how He said He would come. See, Jesus didn't send out His disciples with a sickle or with a sword or a gun. He didn't say, go out and root up all the weeds. He said, just go out and preach the word. And some people will hear it and respond by faith, and it will produce a harvest of 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. But some people, for some reason, will hear it and nothing will happen. They'll just reject it. But God gives His word. And the question I have to ask sometimes is, do I trust Him? And when I don't, I repent. And then hear again that the reign of heaven has come near. It is near because of Jesus. See, the great news is that God sows His grace abundantly. The sower sows His reckless love. He doesn't just dole out a little bit of seed or a little bit of grace. He throws it out recklessly. And that is fantastic. But also, we hear that then and there, as much as God's grace is abundant, we also hear that He will bring His judicial majesty. And that's what Martin Fransman says. His judicial majesty means that then and there, there will be a harvest as the angels are sent out to the ends of the earth and they separate the wheat from the weeds. And the weeds will be bound up and burned up. And it says that the sons of God, the righteous, those who live by faith, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, here and now. The promises that are anchored in the then and there, and the hope that looks forward to the then and there of that day. And so now, here and now, take peace in what God is doing. And I join with St. Paul. We heard these words from Romans chapter 8, where he takes the long view. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Peace for here and now. So hear it now. And a hope for the then and there that comes in and through Jesus, the sower who sows His reckless love. Amen and alleluia. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.